Most Sundays, I'm really glad that we, for most Sundays, follow the Revised Common Lectionary, which gives us pretty much the sermons that, or the texts at least, that we are to preach, so that I don't have to spend half the week trying to decide what am I going to preach this week, except for this week. This challenging text before us from Mark's Gospel is really challenging, and I think that God must have some kind of unique, interesting, even a little bit crazy sense of humor, having just spent 2 weeks with family to engage this text in which Jesus seems to really downplay the role of the family. We Americans may disagree on a lot of things, which we do. We're very divided as a country, but it seems that if we can agree on one thing, it's that we love our families. We adore our families. We would do anything for our families. And I think I would say the same thing, that I don't know that there's anything more important to me than my family. I look forward and usually try to think about when's the next time that we're going to be with family so that I can look forward to that time. Mary and I poured ourselves the last 2 weeks into our grandson, William, and like any of you that have children or that relate to children, you really see the way that they can worm your way into, went their way into your hearts, and it became nigh on impossible for us to leave California. But today's gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark, this reading is coming near the beginning of Mark's gospel, the third chapter, as Jesus sets out on his ministry. The best thing that happens to Jesus, it seems, in those first three chapters is that he hears the voice coming to him from on high saying that you are my beloved child, claiming him as a part of this kingdom, God's child, Jesus. With you, I am well pleased. I believe that's foundational for our understanding of what it means to be part of God's kingdom. That we each individually and collectively hear God's voice speaking to us as individuals. You are my beloved child. You are part of this family. And for us to hear as PMC, when there are times when we feel discouraged, when we feel down on ourselves, to hear this collective good news, you, plural, you children, are my beloved family of Percussie Mennonite Church. With you, I'm well pleased. So that's what's happening to Jesus early on in his ministry, but like any kind of mountaintop experience, it seems to be downhill from there for Jesus. As we read through the first couple of chapters, we very quickly get in touch, through Mark's gospel at least, with intensity and with intense levels of conflict that keep rising for Jesus. He seems to be misunderstood on every side by the religious political authorities who come after him and very quickly want to do him in, misunderstood by the adoring crowds who want whatever he has to offer for what he can give. And then so, therefore, by the third chapter already, maybe it's with a sigh of relief that at last Jesus returns home and enters back into the family circle. Surely now that Jesus is back home, things will go better for him. What a great opportunity it is for him to be lovingly welcomed back by friends and relatives, say, oh, our little Jesus, doing these great things. Isn't it wonderful? Thank you for doing these great things on our behalf. What is it that the poet Robert Frost has once said? Home is the place where when you have to go home, they have to take you in. Well, think again. Think again. At home, what happens? Jesus encounters bitter opposition, not from the religious authorities, not from the political authorities, but from his own family. When Jesus arrived, possibly seeking comfort and protection from the critical, even adoring crowds, his family tries to rein him in, to get control of him. They were saying, "You're a little out of your mind. Are you crazy? What in the world are you doing? You're embarrassing us, making us look bad out there, upsetting the establishment. What's going on? Tone it down." I mean, that's not in the text, but I can only imagine. And you can imagine how emboldened Jesus' critics are to hear that even his own family thought Jesus was crazy. And his mother and brothers call for him. You know how it is in the families, and have these family meetings that you're not included in, but then you're called into it. Some of the crowd says, "Hey, look, your mother, brothers, and sisters are outside. They want to talk with you." It's about trying to control. That's what all families do. Try to get us to be in line, to line up, to be good little boys and girls. And it seems like our calling is to find our way. And then Jesus replies, teaching both the crowds and his own family with words, "I want you to note, who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Looking around at those seated around him in the circle, he said, "Look, here are my mother and my brothers, my sisters. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, my mother." They thought he had really lost it. Because in that part of the world, in that day, even today, there are few, maybe no human institutions that are more highly valued than the family. Your family of origin determined your destiny from cradle to grave. You were not known as Joe, you were known as son of Joe, or daughter of Joseph. If your family had low social economic status, you were likely, very likely, almost inevitable that you remained there throughout your lifetime. And if your family was highly prosperous, you had it made in the family. So long as you didn't step outside family rules and control. And that's the beloved, honored institution that Jesus seems to, shall we say, assault in today's gospel. Now, part of me understands this apparent ambivalence, at best, that Jesus has toward the family. As much as we like to hold out forth these family values and all of this political, national fervor that equates religion and politics and family, and sells to the masses. We all carry scars and maybe open even and festering wounds from our families of origin. I know that's a strong statement. But folks, when we get honest about it, who of us have not been hurt within our family of origin? Who of us have not hurt others within our family of origin? By the things we've done, refused to do, by the ways that we've been tried, that we have been sought to be controlled by our families of origin, by the price we've paid for stepping outside of the ways that our families behaved, and all that. There's so much damage done in families, so much good done in families. The family is often the place of great intimacy, but oftentimes also great secrecy. And therefore a place sometimes when the powerful take advantage of the powerless and people are hurt by vulnerable ones. They're supposed to be protecting. Some of our families are just not working. But perhaps Jesus is not telling us to abandon our families of origin. Some of us have tried that route, moving 1,000 miles from home. Breaking off contact with family members, sisters, with whom you deeply disagree. Trying to change the minds of a parent with whom you did not see eye to eye theologically. Guilty, guilty, guilty. But finally, at age 50, 55, coming to realize that, no, I'm part of this family of origin. Nothing I can do will change that. And perhaps rather than to fight it, to resist it, to think I'm better than it, whatever it might be that that particular expression might have been at the time, to take my place in that family of origin. Do not try to have to prove anything to anyone. Do not have to always have them understand or appreciate or agree with my positions or my direction in life. But to accept them for who they are, to wish that they would accept me for who I am, even though maybe sometimes that doesn't happen. To reestablish connections as much as possible, to love, to do the hard work, but also to say I'm also separate from that and won't be controlled by it, by a family of origin. That's a journey that many of us and perhaps all of us need to take, to come back to that place of where our families of origin are important for us, but not controlled by us. What Jesus seems to be having us understand in this text is that our definition of family is usually way too small. It's inadequate for embracing the expansive love of God. If Jesus was about anything in his ministry, he was about pointing to another reality beyond himself. That's how the Gospels often talk about the kingdom of God. For those who focused on the embarrassing tensions and stresses between Jesus and his mother and brothers, it's as if Jesus asked them to look further, to look beyond that, to note his disciples and others around him, to not ignore his sisters and brothers and mother, because on the cross, Jesus makes provision for his mother. But to see that this family is so much bigger than his immediate biological family. These people, not at all related to him, he calls mothers and brothers and sisters, and pushes people toward a new, more expanded definition of family. Look, those who are not even related to you, those who don't share your name or your parents, these are your family. Oh, I'd do anything for my family, we hear people say. Well, okay. Your family is your responsibility. They look like you. They sometimes think like you. They make you look good in the world's eyes or bad in the world's eyes. Others say, I put my family first. For good reason. It's your job to do so, your responsibility and your family's. Of course you do. It's your natural love for your family, to sacrifice for your family. And God bless you for doing that and taking responsibility and for being proud of your family, owning both the health and the dysfunction of our families. And yet, what Jesus does in today's gospel is tells us that he's busy forming a new family, this family convened by him. We watch Jesus get into all sorts of trouble for going over boundaries and barriers and drawing this odd assortment of people toward himself. And perhaps that's part of what his family of origin was resisting and was trying to rein him in about, his choices of who he was drawing around him. And now he says that his family are those who walk in this kingdom way, who listen to him, who attempt to follow him, who also gain this bigger perspective on this family. Look around you this morning. Go ahead, look around. You can do a rubbernecking. Fine. Look around you. You see this odd assortment, don't you? Yeah, your pastor called you odd. I include myself in that. Of folks with different names, different ages, different backgrounds. All the same, pretty much, color, shades of color anyway. Here, because, why? Jesus Christ convenes us. On a weekly basis, sometimes more often. Your sisters and brothers, your kin in Christ, this new family, and we often use the expression around here, the kingdom of God. We're not just mispronouncing kingdom, we're using kingdom intentionally, that your kinfolk, not your biological kinfolk for most of us, but your spiritual kinfolk are here, convened with you as an act of the Spirit of God, having moved among us in the past and continuing to move among us, so that we again gain this new perspective of what this kingdom, who this kingdom embraces. And we need to think and listen beyond the political rhetoric, because if you listen to that, then pretty soon your kingdom is simply those who look like you and agree with you, who live in this particular country and pledge allegiance to a particular flag. Those are your kingdom. And those outside are not. You don't have to love those. Don't listen to that. Listen to this narrative. Where Jesus calls us to this expansive kingdom. And one of the great things about PMC that I love about this church is watching you. Watching you. Watching you treat each other like family. Watching you step up and take responsibility for each other in times of need, when you're hurting, when someone has gotten bad news and shares it on Perkmeno, and a number of you respond, and many of the others who don't respond hurt a little bit with you and hold you in their hearts or light candles or lamps or whatever ways, send private emails or cards. There are people here that do ongoing, loving work for someone who is not their kinfolk, except in Christ. Some of you are taking responsibility for someone who is not actually your sister or brother, but whom you treat as your child because of Christ. So your family, no matter how loving and wonderful your family of origin is, no matter how broken and messed up it is, and it's both, it's not big enough, it's not, shall we say, demanding enough to keep us in this way of Christ. The church at its best gives us a much bigger family, gives us responsibility for people for whom we would not have known without Christ. There are kin out there, I think, in this community, I know, who long for the good news of a church family like ours. Some of them have been rejected by their families of origin for any number of reasons. Some have walked away from their families of origin because of things done to them or emotional scars that they carry. Some have walked away from their church families for some of the same reasons, when church family has been anything but this loving family to them. Will they find their way back to the kingdom of God, of Christ? Will they find their way here? We pray they do. We try to be hospitable and welcoming to all who come through our doors. But most will not. It seems our challenge is to continue to find ways to go out there, to be family among those who need our family, who long for a new one. To build relationships, to engage our neighbors, as many of you seek to do, to engage people that we work with, sometimes as difficult and impossible as that is, as Cheryl's story illustrates so well. Yesterday, the Perkasie Borough held a community yard sale in cooperation with the summer farmers market up on the square. And Trina Stutman, thanks so much for organizing that, and for others of you who helped, many who contributed items. The proceeds all going to Fish. Trina, how much money? 200. Wonderful. Great. It was great. It was great to see a number of you there having these wonderful looking green t-shirts that identifies us as Perkasie Mennonite Church, with the logo Love Wins in our dove. It's on our sign and on our publicity. We interacted there with our community. These simple interactions and many others put us, I think, in places where we meet our other kin, this expanded family of Jesus. Ministry team and community connections team want to continue to engage you and each other in your ideas of how we think about our kin that are with us and those that are yet to be part of our faith family. Both are ways of inviting them to this space as well as taking our space to them, which is, I think, the harder work for us. To extend hospitality to those who are kin that we don't yet know. And as you might be aware, we are having a special congregational meeting during our second hour this morning, and we invite you to stick around to hear others' dreams, to hear some of the dreams of Community Connection Team and Ministry Team, to bring and share your own, to stretch ourselves to share the good news of Christ's great big family that crosses all kinds of boundaries. Who are Jesus' family? Who are his brothers and sisters? Those who do Christ's will and play their parts in the life of his expansive kindred. You and you and you and you and you. And yet we are all and beyond a part of this family, God's kingdom. Amen.